The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Chapter 3, reading from verses 13 through 17. We see in this passage, before Jesus begins his ministry, he is baptized by John, touched by the Spirit, and identified publicly as God's Son. Now for the reading. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Our baptism may be likened to our North Star. It is a point of reference by which we can guide our lives on a daily basis. As you know, it is before us, so we keep our eyes on it. It is not behind us, as some see their baptism. Let us pray. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We in this congregation talk much about baptism. Every time there is a baptism, I use the opportunity to talk about baptism. On this particular day of the year, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we use it to reflect on our own baptism. So whenever the opportunity presents itself, I always seize it to speak on this topic because it is so central to our life in Christ. Yet, it often gets pushed to the periphery of life. And so the subject for today is beyond ritual to real life. Baptism is one of the two sacraments of the church. The other one, of course, you know, is the Lord's Supper. The importance, or its importance to the baptized, can never be overemphasized. It is a means of grace through which God forgives our sin, makes us children of God, gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we have a second birth by water and the Holy Spirit. In baptism, we die to the old life and are raised to the new life. The old Adam, the old self, is put to death daily as the new Adam rises to take its place in our lives. In baptism, we are told we are clothed in Christ. We are literally wrapped in Christ. So Christ is seen in our lives. Also, through the sacrament, we are grafted into the body of Christ, the church. We believe as Lutherans that baptism is necessary for salvation. Despite its importance and significance for us, as we heard it just listed, baptism is treated often as a mere rite of passage, which happened some time ago in the past, and which really has no significant meaning for our life from day to day. Now, I'm going to ask you two questions. I don't want an answer. I don't want a hands put up or anything. But in your own silent reflection, you will see the point I'm making. Everyone here in your mind who does not know the date of their birth, keep your hands down. Right. Everyone here who knows the date of your baptism, put your hand up. In your mind. In your mind. I don't want you to put it up. You see the point I'm making, right? We know the significant dates of events in our life, whether it's our birth, or our marriage, or our graduation, or some important thing. We can recall the date and the circumstances and the memories surrounding those, right? Not so much about our baptism. This view or understanding of baptism as something past or not too relevant for everyday life could not be more mistaken. Rightly understood, our baptism shapes our response to life on a daily basis. And this is particularly true for our relationships. Our baptism brings us into many relationships. And I would like us to examine three of those relationships today in our reflections. Our relationship with God, our relationship with the church, and our relationship with our neighbor. First, our relationship with God. In our baptism, God brings us into an intimate relationship with himself. In this sacrament, God adopts us as his children. So we call God Abba, Father, Daddy, Dad, whatever is most intimate for you. In calling your mother or your father, that is what we can call God. It is difficult for me to call my mother mom. That means nothing to me. I call my mother mommy. My sister never called my father dad or daddy. She called him da, da. And that carries the depth of meaning for us. So whatever it is that you call your mother or your father, or your loved one. To give you my secret, I call mine Alice kin. Whatever that came from, I don't know. But it, when I says kin, there is something in my heart that swells. And so, when we say Father about God, we are embracing an understanding of God that God has established that relationship with us as father and child. We heard in the gospel reading a while ago, God declaring Jesus as his son. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am pleased. And this is true for us too. In our baptism, God adopts us as his children. In his catechism, Martin Luther says, God's name was given to us when we became Christians at baptism. And so we are called children of God. In this father-child relationship that God establishes with us at our baptism, our Heavenly Father bids us trust him. Trust him as a child trusts his or her mother or father. That is what father means when we say father to God. Is that we come into a relationship where there is an implicit trust that makes our life one that can be navigated with peace. There's a story of a child and his father went, the father was relating the story, they went climbing up a mountainous path. And the child left the father and went to a little higher point than the father. And he said, "Daddy!" And in saying "Daddy," he jumped. The father spun around in time to see this missile coming at him, and he stretched out his arms and grabbed him. And the father said, "Why in heaven's name you would do something like that?" He said, "I knew you would catch me." He trusted his father to catch him, even as he shouted "Dad" and jumped. And that is the kind of trust God invites us into, that trusting relationship, that we can jump and know that we will land in the safe arms of God in our many circumstances of life. Those who live in their baptismal vows and nurture their relationship with God know what amazing grace flows from that trust they have in God. They know the comfort they receive in times of sorrow and distress. They know the strength that comes to them when they are weak, too weak to face life. They know the assurance that comes when confusion swirls in their heads and minds. They know the presence of God and the companionship it gives when they feel alone and abandoned. They know the peace, that peace which passes all understanding, which the world cannot give, when the storms of life buffet them about. Those who nurture their relationship with God come into that point in their life where they will trust God implicitly, knowing that God, Father, Abba, Daddy, is there. This father-child relationship grows into a warm personal relationship when it is nurtured on word and sacrament, on worship and fellowship, on serving others and in prayer. If it is not nurtured, the relationship withers and dies. And then God seems absent and is experienced as not real. So let us not neglect this great privilege we have as children of God through our baptism. Let us cherish and nurture this relationship into fullness and experience that great grace that comes to us in God's love for us. Secondly, our relationship with the church. In baptism, we not only enter a relationship with God, in which God calls us children and we call God Father, but in our baptism, we are grafted into the body of Christ, the church. The church is a community of faith in which the baptized is nurtured, equipped, and sent forth into discipleship and service. Without the church, the baptized is diminished in their development. In the supportive community of the church, the baptized find strength and encouragement in difficult times. How many of us within this community know what it is to feel the comforting embrace of another brother or sister within this community of faith when they most needed it? How much they know the comfort of a comforting word, an encouraging word, when they felt that they are being flogged by life? How much they know that happiness, that joy, when another brother or sister join with celebrating with them the joys of life? And that is what the church is. We are grafted into a community that is there for us. Without the church, the baptized is diminished indeed in their development. We find strength and encouragement. We find friendship and fellowship. We find purpose and meaning through involvement in the mission and ministry of the church. So the baptized need the church if they are to grow in the faith. And the church needs the baptized if the church is to be a vibrant, faithful, effective body carrying out the mission of God and engaging its ministries. We are baptized not unto ourselves, but into a body. We become part of this body. And this body called the church has many ministries and one mission, God's mission. Without you, without your engagement of the mission, without your involvement in the life of the church, this church will go nowhere. Any church will go nowhere if its members who are baptized do not become grafted into, engaged in the life of the church. So when we need people to embrace and engage the ministry, whether to be counselors or Sunday school teachers or to people to sit on committees, to whom do we turn if not to the baptized, whom God has called and equipped with the Spirit and with gifts of the Spirit to serve in this community? In our baptism, we are grafted into this community called the church, which gives us the opportunity to serve. And thirdly, we are, in our baptism, brought not only to a relationship with God and relationship with the church, but we are brought into a renewed relationship with our neighbor. The church is perhaps the only organization or organism, some would say, which does not exist for itself. It exists for the sake of the world. God calls us. God claims us in baptism. God incorporates us into the church. God empowers us with the Holy Spirit. God enlightens us with His Word and through His Word. And God sends us out into the world in His mission to our neighbors. Very simple statement we always repeat. When Jesus says, come, He also says, go. In the beginning of His ministry, when He began after His baptism, He walked along the lakeside and He saw four fishermen, and He says, come, come, and I will make you fishers of men. Towards the end of the gospel, what do we hear Jesus saying in Matthew 28 and 16 forward? Go ye into all the world, preach the good news, baptize people, make them disciples, and teach them to obey all I have commanded you. Come is always followed by go. The engagement into the ministry by us is always for the purpose of serving our neighbors. It is God's will that the church, that we Christians, we the church, respond to our neighbors in their many contexts they find themselves. So, our baptism has significance for our life beyond the time of its occurrence. As I said before, it is not just simply a past historical event in our lives, but it is a very present existential condition in which we live. It has meaning for our whole life, every day. It has special meaning for our relationship with God, our relationship within the church, and our relationship with our neighbors. So let us give substance to our baptism as we reaffirm it today by living out the vows we took or were taken on our behalf, which we confirmed at our confirmation and which we reaffirm every year. We will find that there is a great blessing in this, when we live in our baptismal vow. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keeps our hearts and minds in the knowledge and in the love of Christ. Amen.